Welcome to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series, recorded live at Our Lady of Perpetual Help Catholic Church in Ellicott City, Maryland. This homily is from the seventh Sunday of Easter, the Ascension of the Lord, 2018.
With his ascension, the disciples know that something big has got to happen because they've seen all that's played out, but they know that more needs to happen. They say to the Lord, as we heard in the Acts of the Apostles, Lord, is this the time now when you're gonna bring it all to its conclusion? You're gonna go ahead and establish your kingdom in power, and this is all gonna get wrapped up now? They know that there's something really momentous that is yet to take place. So the Lord gives them a command, and it's nothing, I think, that you and I would have expected. Like, if there's some great work that God still needs to accomplish, we probably would have expected that his command to them would have been somehow equally great, like up on that level. And yet in this moment, when they're ready, like, Lord, what now? His command to them is very simple. Stay in Jerusalem and wait. Wait. Like, it's nothing, I think, that we would have expected. But very simply, wait. Why? Why wait? What's going on that the most important thing that they can do as he's about to ascend is to go back into the city, to go back into the upper room and wait? Well, we know the answer. I'm going to pull out, we had our children's mass, our last children's mass of the year, just to, I won't dwell on it, but I'll at least give you the image that I gave to the kids at the 9 o'clock Mass. Why wait? Because, let me grab, here we go. This is actually, there we go. This is the actual charger for my old iPhone 4. Do you know that? You forgot they used to be this big. Yeah. The reason that we wait is because although the apostles, that they've been with the Lord for 3 years and they've learned everything that they could possibly learn, they've seen everything that he's done, healings, the miracles, the preaching, the forgiveness, they know all of that. But the reason that they have to wait is because they don't have the power yet that's necessary to actually live out the mission. They don't have it yet. And I've shared with you, and we'll come back to this next Sunday at Pentecost, but trying to break us out of this whole faulty way of thinking that if you and I just, if we just know enough about Jesus, like if I've been through X number of years of Catholic school or so many years of religious ed, I must be ready because I've got the info in my head. How wrong that is. All of the knowledge of God that one could possibly have, but without the power to act on it and the readiness to act on it, it's useless. And so why wait? Because they've not yet been filled with the power that they will need to accomplish the share in the Lord's mission that they've received. So he tells them, stay and wait in Jerusalem. You will be clothed with power from on high. So that's the place that the church is in right now between the ascension and Pentecost. What I'd like to do is I want to just dwell for a little bit, put this away here, dwell for a little bit on the whole waiting part, because that can be super hard for us. So the three things that we hate most about waiting are the three things that the Lord most needs us to learn. So Scripture's filled with the Lord's command to wait. It happens all the time. It is such a deeply embedded part of the plan of salvation that we need to really appreciate how much and how important waiting is in God's plan. Like, for example, Abraham, you know, he was 75 years old when God called him out of Ur into the land that he would give to all of his descendants. And he told Abraham, you're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to have so many offspring, so many descendants. They're going to be more numerous than the sand on the beach, more numerous than the stars in the sky. But, you know, from that promise until when Abraham and Sarah had their first child, Isaac, 25 years. 25 years of waiting. There is so much waiting that goes on in Scripture, and it's a deeply woven in kind of part of the whole plan. But the three things that I think we hate most about waiting are, in fact, the three things the Lord most needs us to know and learn. So one reason that we hate waiting is because it very powerfully and painfully reminds us that we are not in control. If you're waiting on somebody else, it means that there's some element of the whatever is happening that you do not have control over. And waiting reminds us of that. It's not a one-man show. It's not all about what I'm able to do single-handedly. Waiting reminds us I'm not in control. The second thing connected to that I think we hate about waiting, but the Lord needs us to learn, is this, that because we're not in control, we can't force things to happen. When there are things beyond our control, we have to let them play out independent of us, apart from what we can step in and just make happen. A lot of times we want to force the issue. We want to kind of kickstart it, get it going, you know, and force something to happen. But in the end, that's not a good place, especially spiritually, to end up being. The third thing about waiting that I think we hate, but the Lord needs us to know, is this. We prize and really treasure busyness. We often wear busyness as a badge. Like, the more that we can let other people know how much we've got going on, how filled up our life is, how much we're running from one thing to the other. We live in a world that tends to value the doing so much that we really probably tend to keep ourselves a lot busier than is healthy. And this is true even of a lot of our parents with young kids. There are many parents who have put their own busyness on their kids, and we have lots of kids who are just like way overscheduled. And you know that when, I've shared this with you before, when like some of our school kids, will, you know, third grade will tell me, Father, I'm very stressed out. No, but they mean it. Like, you're 8 years old, you should not be stressed out. But we wear busyness like a badge. Waiting is the Lord's way of saying to us, you know what, you don't need to be kind of running around all the time. And waiting, because you're not in control and you can't force the issue, waiting, I need you to be in a place where you are acknowledging, I can't do anything, and I'm not going to run around like crazy trying to make something happen. I'm going to try to be a little quieter, a little more still, and accept the fact that no amount of busyness is going to make God's plan happen more quickly. These are three huge things. What's so powerful about waiting is that when those three things are happening in us, they put us right back at the core of where we need to be in our relationship with the Lord, acknowledging you are God and I'm not. Remember, the whole problem that we got into beginning with Adam and Eve was the fact that they wanted to take God's place. And that's been our constant struggle with sin ever since. We want to be in control. We don't want to have Him be directing and guiding things. We want to be the ones who get to direct and guide and decide. When we're in a place of waiting, what it does is it allows that the most fundamental relationship to be restored back to where it needs to be, which is, I am not God, but you are. And I think that that's a big reason why we really hate to wait. Spiritually, what it gives us the opportunity to do is to be restored back to where we should be. So that's waiting in the big picture. And I want to encourage you and just, you know, plead with you, because waiting is such a huge part of the working out of our salvation, you need to expect that in your relationship with the Lord, there's going to be a fair amount of waiting. I mean, if the culmination of the whole plan of God, resulting in the church being set on fire with the Holy Spirit and sent out to the world, if that was preceded with a command to wait, don't leave the upper room, stay in the city and pray, if the plan of God in the big picture played out that way, do you think in your own life that the Lord will not ask you to also be in a place of waiting often? So we need to expect that a big chunk of letting God's plan play out and come to be in our life is going to come often on our part as we wait and we let the Lord do what He, the Lord God alone, can do, while we accept the fact, Lord, I can't force it. There are things at play here beyond me, and no amount of business on my part is going to be able to kind of kickstart it or force it to happen. So do not be afraid to wait. And this weighs a little bit on my heart, because like I know in some big areas of our life, this is really hard. Some of our young adults, like our young adult women in particular, so many of you who have been praying and discerning, you feel a call to marriage, and you have not found that guy yet. And how hard it can be to wait for the Lord to bring the right person, the right relationship into your life and let that begin to slowly develop and grow. How hard it can be to wait for that, and how great the temptation is for you just to force the issue. And I would never want any of our young women to settle for the wrong guy. And there are a lot of wrong guys out there. We're not going to start a dating service here. I'm just making the comment. There are a lot of wrong guys out there. Because I hear our young women mention some of those kinds of things they've been through. The point is that we need to just keep begging the Lord to let us be comfortable in that wait. Now, more specifically to these days between Ascension and Pentecost, I want to encourage you, join your heart with the heart of the church where we are in these days. We need that full power of the Holy Spirit at work in our life. Knowledge of God without action, or the power to put into action, is useless. It's utterly useless. And so I want to encourage you in these days between Ascension and Pentecost to be joining your heart with the heart of the church as we wait and we pray, Lord, this is your plan, but we're just going to put ourselves in a place where we are disposed to receive what you want to give. And that's hard, to just park ourselves and wait. But don't be afraid to do that. During these days in the parish from 8 to 9 p.m. each night, I mentioned this last week, we have the great novena of Pentecost that we're in right now. Every evening from 8 to 9, a time of prayer, worship before the Blessed Sacrament, a little bit of intercession, and then just quiet. But that's going to lead up to our great big extended Pentecost Vigil Mass. But all of that is our way of just being in a place where we're acknowledging, Lord, you are God, we are not, we're going to wait and let you do what you, the Lord God alone, can do. So in the big picture of your life, do not be afraid to wait on the Lord. And especially now in these days of the great novena, do not be afraid to wait and pray for that gift the Lord promised, the gift of the Spirit that clothes us in power, that allows us to live out the mission that he's given to us.
Thank you for listening to the Our Lady of Perpetual Help podcast series. We invite you to visit our website at www.olphparish.org to get connected with everything our parish has to offer.